Welcome to a new episode of The Brand Called You. Today we have an absolutely incredible individual who has lived because of his passions. Deepak Sharma, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Honored to be here.
Thank you, Deepak. Deepak is a corporate person. He spent 31 years with NTPC, ABB, Alstom Power, BSES and Tata Power. Okay. And then he and his wife decided to give up the corporate world. His wife is a doctor and became a part of Udayan Care, which is the trust for disadvantaged children and women.
That's right.
Deepak, you met your calling when you were 53.
Right.
When you started off your association with Udayan Care. And you and your wife have both devoted your time to the cause.
Right.
Talk to us about why you took this step and what was your motivation.
So, coming from a very humble background, from a middle class family, from a small town, my father was a lecturer in Aligarh Muslim University, teaching physics there. Mm-hmm. So, my initial days were spent there. I did my schooling, my college, my engineering from Aligarh Muslim University. And then, 1982, I moved to Delhi, joined NTPC, as you mentioned, as my first workplace. And slowly, over a period of time, I moved to different corporates. And actually, when I moved to ABB in 1996, there I got in touch with few of my colleagues. And at that time, possibly this social cause or CSR was not that prevalent. But I found there in ABB that few of my colleagues were supporting some NGOs through writing checks and giving donations towards girls' education, all those things. So I definitely got inspired. And then in ABB, in about when I was 38, 39, that is the year 1998, as part of my job, I traveled to Calcutta. And there I happened to visit Mother Teresa's Mission of Charity. And after visiting that Mother Teresa's place, and I spent maybe hardly 10-15 minutes, but after coming out, I don't know what went inside me. And then I thought that she is also after a human being, working with such people, and what are we living for? What is this life meant for? So from that first point of time, as I said, the seed was sown. That at some point of time, I would give up my corporate world, wherever I am, in whatever position, and work for girls' education. That's how, that, as I said, 1998-99, the seed was sown. I came back. Obviously, I had a family. Me and my wife and my son were living with my mother. I lost my father a long time back. And obviously, I had a family responsibility to see my son settles and all those things. And as I said, after maybe another in my early 40s, I thought of that by the time I am 52, 53, I had only one child. He would be more or less settled by that time. And then I would give up the corporate job and get associated with, as I said, with girls' education. So this is how the initial years, and then around 2009, there was an advertisement in Times of India about Teach India program. And my son, a brilliant scholar, he was studying at IIT Delhi in second year. And then me and my wife thought, okay, now son is more or less settled going to college. So we have some time, because initially we were spending a lot of time with my son. So now we have time. So let's see what we can do. We have no idea about this Teach India. We just enrolled for this program of Teach India. And then when we attended the induction program, so we were living in Noida that time. So that, what is your favorite area? What you would like to work for? So we told them that our passion is education. And if we can get associated with some NGO which is working towards education, we would love to get associated. So that's how, post that, 2009, me and my wife were assigned Udayan Care's two homes in Noida. Okay. There was a boy's home and a girl's home. So that 2009, me and my wife got associated. We started going to these children's homes in the evenings after office or on Saturdays, Sundays. and slowly spend a lot of time spending children with their education, playing sports with them. I'm actually a sports freak. So we used to play a lot of sports with the children, whether indoor or outdoor. And that's how, as I said, the journey started in 2009 with Udyan Care. And then 2013, this Greater Noida home, which is the biggest home of the organization. There was one brigadier who was there taking care of the premises. So he wanted to move out. And anyway, my managing trustee, Udyan Care of that time, Dr. Kiran Modi, she asked me, would you like to take over from him? And honestly, I was waiting for that opportunity. I jumped at that. And then 2013, early September, I took charge at that home. And that's it, now the journey is going.
Amazing.
So that's how the journey is now. It's a very fulfilling thing.
I can imagine. I can imagine. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, when you manage homes for girls,
right?
What are some of the challenges you face?
See, to give you a brief background about how these children come to these homes. See, all these homes are run under the Juvenile Justice Act of 2015, which is the Government of India Act. And there is a body under that, which is called the Child Welfare Committee, which is there in each district. So any child found anywhere by the orders of CWC comes to these, we call them CCIs, child care institutions, or you call them shelter homes or whatever. So once the orders are given by the CWC, which are written orders, the child or the girl or the boy comes to the girl's home or the boy's home, as the case may be. And once the...
And they come at any age?
No, no. So again, coming back to the Act, we have to take a license for running these homes. And the license could be from 5 to 10 or 10 to 18 and things like that.
Okay.
So like the one in Greater Noida, where me and my wife are mentor parents to the girls, we have a license for 10 to 18. So normally the CWCs won't send any girl who is 4, 5, 6. Maybe a 9, 10 could come to us, but that's normal age which when the girl is coming to us. And once the girl comes to us, and let me tell you, today in my home, we have orphan girls, runaway girls, physically abused girls. So we have all abandoned girls. So we have all types of girls who are traumatized. So obviously no normal child will come to a child care institution. So the challenge is obviously coming with a different background, with a different trauma, their health condition, their mental health condition. So the organization works a lot on the mental health. So we have counselors, because obviously we as mentor parents are raising them like a normal child, like we did for our own child. But then with the trauma, so much trauma behind that back, obviously we need professionals, we need experts. So we have psychologists, psychiatrists, counselors, where we have regular, some are coming pro bono, some we are paying them. But that is one challenge, because the mood swings of the children are such, because at this moment they may be very pally with you, very happy with you, but suddenly what starts their mind, and suddenly they will go bonkers and they will start shouting and screaming. So yes, their mental health is definitely one challenge.
And there must be a big adjustment issue with one another also.
Yes, definitely, because a child, new child coming, and someone who is there for 5 years, 10 years, to wait. Just normally we find in hostels or in other places, that seniority and that sometimes the bullying issues and all those things. So obviously, as I said, as parents, since I am there all day, my wife is still working, so she spends lesser time, but I am like 24/7 for these children. So I am there from morning 9 o'clock till 6:37 or 8, whatever time they want, right? Helping them with whatever they want in terms of studies. I support them with their homework and do whatever a normal family parent
and
would
how
do.
Many, girls would be there in your center?
So right now I have 35 girls in the home. The youngest is 10 years and in class 3, going to one of the leading public schools of Greater Noida. And the eldest is 21. She is in final year of college at Delhi University. And as I said, the organization's focus is education or vocational. So under the Act, as I mentioned, we are responsible for a child till 18. Because after that, she becomes a young adult. But the organization doesn't leave them there, or they don't push them out. We support them till 21, 22, till they complete their graduation or complete their some vocational skills, and then support them with the jobs through our own channels or whatever. So that's how. And this relationship with the children is lifelong. And our concept of these running these homes is what we call living in family environment. So life, so abbreviated as life. So we do marriages of the girls. This January also we married one girl who was 22 years old. So they keep coming to us, like any girl or any boy would come to his or her parental family.
So help me understand what a typical day would look like in your Greater Noida home.
So a typical day, let me tell you, when I reach 9:30, obviously we have this home in a half acre plot, right? So we have 12-13 staff also. We have round the clock security. We have housekeeping staff. We have four ladies who are referred as caregivers. Mm-hmm. They stay full time there because they have to take care of so many needs of the children. Then we have the administrative staff who are paid employees of the organization. So working with them in the first half, and then children start coming from school 1:30 onwards. So beyond 1:30 is now full time with children. I eat lunch with them, sit together with them in the lunch room, have lunch. And afternoon, we study together in we have study rooms. So I sit with children, spending time with their studies. And evening 5:30, we have a big open area. So as I said, I'm a sports freak. So I would play basketball with them. I would play cricket with them. And normally 6:30, I leave back to my biological family. So a typical day is, and then in the morning, first hour, there are so many things. You might have to attend some PTMs because children are going to so many different schools. Okay. So I would go and attend PTMs, or if there is any requirement of some books, stationery, going to the market. So normally I try to finish off those activities in the first half.
So, what are some of the challenges? You did speak of some of the challenges of the girls, but they must be coming from very traditional families, unless of course they're abandoned and you don't know where they're from. What are some of their challenges?
See, with the background, let me tell you, majority of these girls are coming from lower class families or lower middle class families, right? So a child coming at the age of 10, and many times, let me tell you, this is also a challenge. And last almost 6 years, we have restored back also about 30-35 girls, because these children come through CWC, and during counseling, during interaction, we come to know, because a runaway child could run away because his or her parent is beaten her or whatever, and she would run away and then land up with us. So over the years, we then counsel her, tell her that, because the government also wants that the best place for a child is with her family.
Correct.
Right. And the court rulings and the Supreme Court ruling judgments are there that child care institution should be the last resort for any child. Mm. So over a period of, as I said, 30-35 girls have been restored. The challenge obviously is that many times they won't disclose from where they belong to, because normally a 9-year, 10-year child should know where his or her home is. But our standard of living, let me tell you, in our homes, in case you sometimes find time, please do visit.
I would love.
And the standard of living is no less than a middle class family. Mm-hmm. Our menu is standard across 17 homes. We have 17 homes across. Mm-hmm. It is standard prepared by a dietitian. For example, I'll tell you, both morning and evening, children are given milk. I don't think in a normal middle class family, one can afford having 2-3 children. So the standard of living is such that you would really say that sometimes any time children hide from where they come from.
Mm. Amazing. Amazing. So, one more question about the home. I mean, with girls, so many girls there, and we hear so many different stories about all the wrong things that
right.
How do you ensure the security of all these young girls?
One is, we have placed CCTV cameras at all strategic points. Okay. Obviously, you can't put in the girls' rooms, but all common areas, boundary wall, even my own room where I sit, right? I have a CCTV camera. And everything is recorded. We have 14 cameras installed in the premises. So everything is monitored by the security round the clock. And obviously, that is one safeguard which we have. And secondly, we are also continuously taught that we have to maintain distance from the children.
Okay.
Because as you rightly said, tomorrow there could be some accusation or something coming on. So we obviously taking care of this using the technology, basically.
So, this is absolutely incredible service that you're doing. But tell me, what motivates a human being to serve another the way you are doing?
See, like in my case, I told you how I got inspired by Mother Teresa, right? And service to community, service to society.
Yeah.
So that was, as I said, the life-changing moment for me. And I personally am of the strong opinion that we get only one life. Maybe I sometimes go into mythology also, but we all get one life. And personally, I feel that we all, I think God has been kind to us. I at least personally, I can say about me, because when I started in 1982, I never knew that I would be doing, giving up job and doing all that. So I feel blessed and privileged. So I feel that at least we get one life, and at least some in some form. And I'm not saying one should do this. There are so many areas. One could work for environment. One could work for climate. One could work for old age.
Yeah.
There are so many things to do. But giving back, I think, is one thing which we also try to inculcate even in these girls. That you cannot be just a passive receiver. So you have to at some point of time, and not necessarily financial. So a lot of our girls who have passed out or married, they would come, have counseling sessions with the younger girls. So they are in some form or the other giving back.
Okay.
So that with that concept, I feel that giving back should, I think, should be part of everyone's life, whosoever is privileged to do that.
Very well said. So, you know, there are a lot of people in our country who want to give back. And from the kind of work Udayan Care does and what you are defining for us, how does one get involved with the activities, you know, either as a mentor parent or in terms of funding or in terms of any other activity? How does, you know, because thousands of people watch our podcast and
see through this channel, I would only like to say one thing. Funding is the last thing we look for.
Okay.
The first thing we look for is dedicated, committed volunteers.
Okay.
Because I also started as a volunteer, as I said, in 2009. And yes, almost 4 to 5 times a week, I was visiting, spending time. But I was spending only 1 hour, maybe playing chess with 2 children. But what I'm saying is, the first starting step has to be as part of, as a volunteer.
If I want to become a volunteer,
yeah,
or if someone wants to become a volunteer, what is that process? Do they just write to you?
I just tell you, we have just completed 25 years in February.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain laid down processes as part of the organization. Today, there is nothing, no one has to be approached. We have our website. We have a volunteer button on that website. Just go and click, the form will open. Just fill up your interest areas, where you want to volunteer, what are your strengths, and everything is so simple form, one and a half page form. Fill it, submit it, it goes to our volunteer department. They will approach the individual. They will have a weekly 2-hour induction session so that the individual is briefed about the organization, understood about his interest areas, and then he or she is assigned in whatever areas her interest is, whatever geographical area he or she would like to volunteer. So it's a very simple process, as I said.
And, you know, I did visit your website, and like you are a mentor parent.
Yeah.
How does one become a mentor parent?
See, again, it's a situation where normally, see, because mentor parent, like me and my wife, like we have almost 35 mentor parents in the organization across different homes. So these all people, I'm only maybe about 6-7 years. We have people who are mentor parents for 15 years, 20 years, mentor mothers or mentor fathers. More of mentor mothers, less of mentor fathers. But then what we see is how committed the individual is. So like even I was initially 4 years as a volunteer. The organization found me, observed me, she saw my commitment, my wife's commitment, and then we got converted into a mentor parent. So it is basically, as I said, a process. It may not be 4 years, it could be 2 years, but then one has to be committed, and committed personally for life.
Right.
Like today, me and my wife are committed for life. As long as the limbs work, we are going to be with the children. Children will keep coming, new children will come and all those things. But then we are committed for life. So this is basically, so directly, normally we don't encourage enrolling as mentor parent. There's nothing, because there's nothing like a mentor parent form or something. But
no,
it's like volunteers getting converted into mentor parents.
Correct. So, you know, today, based on the 30 plus centers, thousands of girls must have been benefited.
Yeah.
And you did mention a little while ago that you don't want them to be pure receivers, that you want them to give back as
well. Sure.
What has been your experiences in the girls giving back to them?
So, we have today only just now talked of only one program. There is another program of the organization. This is a Ghar program, what we just discussed. Mm-hmm. We have another program of the organization, which is called an Udyan Shalini Fellowship Program.
Okay.
And this Udyan Shalini Fellowship Program is exclusively for girls. And under this program, what we do, we support girls from economically weaker and underprivileged section from class 11th onwards till they graduate. And if I briefly tell you the process of selection for these girls and the criteria for these girls, we have what we call a NAT, Need, Ambition, Talent, Test.
Mm-hmm.
So like Greater Noida, we have one chapter, we call them chapters. Mm-hmm. So Greater Noida is a chapter where there are three criteria for picking up these girls.
Mm-hmm.
One is that the girl should be studying in a government school. Secondly, the girl should have at least secured 60% in class 10th. And thirdly, the annual parental income of the parent should be less than 2 lakhs per annum.
Okay.
So once these criteria are fulfilled, the girl applies for this fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
Like Greater Noida, we have completed the process for selection this year.
Mm-hmm.
300 girls had appeared for the test, or maybe 370 girls had appeared for the test. And finally, we have shortlisted 50 girls. So we do a written test, proper written test. We do an interview,
mm-hmm.
and we visit the homes of these girls to establish the economic condition,
mm-hmm.
so whether they really deserve this fellowship.
Okay.
And once this is done, so this program started in 2002.
Okay.
And this program is there in today 20 cities across 13 states.
Okay.
So if you ask me, Chennai, yes, we are there. Bangalore, we are there. Bombay, Hyderabad, Calcutta,
mm.
Pune, Thane,
yeah.
North mein Punjab, mm. Haridwar, Dehradun.
Yeah.
So we are there, as I said, in 20 cities. And this program started in 2002. And today, almost 7,800 girls have benefited out of this program. Few of them have become doctors, engineers. 2017, one girl completed her PhD from Cambridge under this program. And the organization supported her throughout.
Wow.
Darshana Joshi is her name. So I take pride in that, that she has really brought laurels to the organization.
Mm.
So these girls have been supporting us in so many ways. I run marathon every year. So they have been supporting with funding and all those things. They participate in that. So it's like a big, big family, you can say,
mm.
of these girls
Amazing.
With us.
Amazing.
And today I am mentoring about 10, 12 girls in the Greater Noida Shalini chapter.
I see. Fantastic. So, you know, it's always been said that NGOs in our country will change the country because they are reaching areas which even the government is not able to reach, not just in terms of physical reach but psychological reach and establishing a connect with people.
Right.
Udyan is obviously doing that. What are some of the changes that Udyan has started to see over the last 25 years in the lives of these girls?
See, one definitely, because our Udyan Shalini Fellowship Program has touched, as I said, more than 7,500 girls. These are girls directly impacted. Then look at their families. Each family has 4 or 5 members. Then their relatives, the neighborhood, everyone gets impacted, right? So we would have touched a few lakhs through these channels. And definitely, this is a program which is a scalable program. And when you're talking of government policy, so recently, let me tell you a very interesting, because we do a lot of work in advocacy. Last 5 years, Udyan Care has done a lot of work in advocacy. So like we have been conducting every 2 years an international seminar on child and youth care on different topics. Right? We publish our 6-monthly journal on the child and youth care. And we are happy to share that this year, we have, in the last month only, we have released a research which we conducted with the help of Tata Trust and UNICEF on young adults who leave the CCIs, child care institutions, after the age of 18. Like in our case, we are taking the care of them. But there are several organizations, several government homes, where once the boy or girl reaches an 18, he's put on the street.
Mm.
And then where he or she is going, no one knows. So we have done this research. We have covered 5 states. We have covered Karnataka. We have covered Maharashtra. We have covered Rajasthan. Then Delhi. And one more state.
Mm-hmm.
So this research was recently launched and with the help of, and the Delhi government was also involved in that. It was a 2-year research. And it's available on the website also. And that really is an eye-opener. That's really an eye-opener that what all issues these young adults really suffer once they move out from different homes.
So as they say, you know, you educate a girl and you educate a family.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
That's an amazing thing you are doing. For the girls.
And that was my belief when I said that my dream, as I said in early 40s, that to work with girls' education, because I had that concept in mind that country can prosper, country can really develop if the girls are educated.
So, Deepak, a few questions for you personally. Do you have any superstitions?
To be honest, superstitions, but belief, I don't know whether they are synonyms or
beliefs.
So, belief could be like, I am a super bhakt of Mata Vaishno Devi. So last, and my first visit to Mata was when I was 34, right? And now I am running 60. Next month again I am going. There's been a continuous non-annual visit to Mata. And I don't know, and I have never asked anything for me.
Yeah.
I will always ask for good health for myself and rest anything for this community and society. And I have seen a lot of good things happening in my life. So that is one belief I carry. So, and I will continue to carry that till, as I said, my limbs work. So that is one belief.
And, you know, we also have this whole thing about getting up in the morning and going to work. And you're obviously so excited about your work. People of your and my age normally start to slow down, etc. But it looks like you just want to keep going, man.
So should I share a story about that? Also, because I have so many stories to tell.
Please share.
Right. So, while I was working in NTPC, and as I earlier mentioned, I'm a sports freak. So, while I was working in NTPC, and cricket was my passion. So, if I had a rich father, possibly I would have become a Ravi Shastri of that time. So, anyway, so my father told me,
you're a spinner, is it?
Huh?
You're a spinner.
Yeah, spinner and left-arm spinner. That Right. So, father said, you beta padhai karo. You can keep it as a hobby. So that continued. I have no other passion except playing sports. So cricket was my passion at that time. So as I said, around 30, when I was 30, NTPC used to participate in a lot of corporate tournaments and all those things. So we had one coach come mentor. We used to call him father. So as we were sitting on the cricket ground one day and we were chatting. So he just asked me a question. Deepak, what is your dream? So at 30, normally people will dream that I want to become CEO or MD or president or whatever. So I told father, my only dream is that I should be playing some sports, outdoor sports till the last day of my life. So he was shocked actually, he never expected this response. So he said, then Deepak, I will tell you one mantra. And he said, tell me father. He said, starting today, spend at least 1 hour on your body. He said, you may become president, you may become CEO, you may earn millions. That will be shared and enjoyed by your family and near and dear ones. But if you don't keep fit and you catch any problem, physical problem, that only you will have to suffer. No one else will be able to share.
Absolutely.
So, right? So anyway, at that age, that day and today, it's now 29, 30 years. At least 1 hour, if not more, I'm spending on my body. So like today morning also, I did about 7 kilometers running, jogging basically within my society. It is a good running path. So every day morning, it's like become a routine. Getting up at 4:30, I am 4:45, I'm out at least 1 hour. So I do about 6, 7, because I'm participating in this Airtel Delhi Half Marathon. And I'll be running 21 kilometers.
Okay.
Last year, I ran 21 kilometers for the first time. You have a question there. So, what you did first time?
Yeah.
So, that was the first time I attempted. And I used to run the 6 kilometers every year. So, last year, I thought, let me make an attempt of 21 kilometers. And touch wood, I was able to complete in 2 hours, 50 minutes. So, I take pride in that I was able to cover under 3 hours.
Fantastic.
Right? So, now I started practicing. 20th October is the event.
Yes.
So, I started practicing. So, 7 kilometers every day, I will increase maybe a kilometer or so. And then after that, break off about half an hour, and then I play 1 hour tennis.
Okay.
In the society, we have a tennis court.
Amazing.
We have 4 or 5 oldies like me.
So, fit you are.
So we play tennis. So roughly, on an average, 1.5 to 2 hours, I'm spending on my body. And last 30 years, maybe there were very rare days, I sleep by 10 o'clock in the night and get up at 4:30 in the morning. So that has been my regime for last 30 years.
Fantastic. Deepak, thank you very much. I think chatting with you has been absolutely fascinating.
Thank you.
And as I said a little while ago, you educate a girl, you educate a family, and I think you are doing such amazing work.
Thank you so much.
More power to you.
Thank you so much.
Good luck to you.
Thank you so much and for giving this opportunity and to be here today.
Thank you.
I'm really obliged. Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You podcast. Be sure to visit tbcy.in to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover fantastic bonus content. You can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Simply search for The Brand Called You. Thank you, and see you next week.